Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Gay Talk 2.0. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about
the gays of our lives.
Brought to you by Paul Anthony. I'm here with my friends, Nick, Paul, and Chris, and this is
The Dish.
So, what are we talking about? Paul still has his echo on, but yeah. Welcome to the show. This is episode 4. I'm excited because, we've gotten really good responses from you guys, the listeners. So we're very appreciative that you're tuning in, and we hope that you continue to do so. So what's going on, guys?
How was everybody's holiday?
Yeah, tell them. Easter. How was your Easter, Nick? Trish?
My Easter was actually wonderful. I got to spend it with Paul, his brother-in-law, and their
baby.
You
got to meet the baby.
I think I spent more time with his mother than he did because he wouldn't get out of bed.
But it was a rough night for me.
Bitch.
I couldn't help it.
Speaking of hungover, today, our cocktail.
Are we enjoying it?
Oh, it's amazing. Can you tell the listeners what it is?
Of course. We're going with a classic today. We're bringing out the old Moscow Mule.
It is.
It's so good. It's also called a vodka buck is the old school name for it. And a Moscow Mule consists of delicious vodka with some fresh squeezed lime juice and ginger beer, and it has
with Nick's
to be
dirty hands.
With Nick's dirty, filthy hands.
I actually like his hands.
It gives it a nice flavor right there.
His fingers taste good.
It's a little salty. I could work with that.
I'm gonna need another bucket.
But it must be served in a nice, cold, sweating copper mug. So, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
They're not as loud. Oh, yeah. There we go. So everyone make yourself a cocktail and let's do some dish.
So what are we talking about? Did you guys... Hey, listen, I have something really funny. So do you guys know who Bill Murray is?
Yes. He doesn't know who Bill Murray is.
He was the actor that played... I forgot you were born in like 1990.
I was born in 92.
Bitch.
You're a 90s baby?
I was born in 1992.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God. I'm dealing with children.
I'm an 80s baby.
Are you?
Yes. So am I.
You're like literally 89. You were born when the Blonde Ambition tour
86.
Was on.
86.
It's my last year of my 20s.
Lord
girl.
Have mercy.
It's getting old. So I'm going to be a daddy soon.
So listen, let me tell you about this. So Bill Murray got all like crazy sad because he was doing an interview with his son Luke. And Luke actually admitted that he had never seen his father's movies, Caddyshack. Because, the first Caddyshack came out, like, back in, like, what, like, 1980? And poor kid wasn't even born until 1988. No, I'm sorry. He was born in 1985. So by the time he was born, the movie had already released. It was a big hit. But he actually admitted that he'd never seen it. And his father was, like, visibly, like, sad about that.
He never saw his father's movie?
Did you ever see? No.
I actually never saw Caddyshack.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't blame you because look at when you were born.
Yeah, but I love older movies. I mean, I love all stuff, but it's just one that I've never seen. I love Bill Murray. He's great, but I'd never seen it.
But when you look at, some of the movies that are coming out today, and you see some of the graphics and stuff like that, I could honestly understand why he would never want to see a movie that was filmed in the 80s.
You're so used to the special effects and everything now, and it's so different back then. I mean, back then, the explosion, yeah. Everything.
I mean, to this day, I can't think of how people did my job without a cell phone. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's like, a really good point.
Literally today, I had to go through a box of contracts from 2003, and they were all on carbon paper because I had to find somebody social. I couldn't get a hold of them, and they have to go on payroll. So I'm going through these files, and I'm pulling out these carbon copies, and I'm just like, I feel so young. I've never had to use carbon copies. They were done on a typewriter. Like, it was ridiculous. And here I am, like, typing into a PDF. Like, it was just, it's crazy.
How did it feel like? Did it feel like typing on balls or something? No. Was it, like, that foreign?
No, I mean, like, I wasn't typing with the typewriter. I was looking at a carbon copy that was typed from a typewriter. And it's like, I couldn't imagine how... I screw up all the time when I'm writing out contracts. If I did that with a typewriter...
That's yeah.
The piles of paper, I would just be like,
so listen, back in the days, you had to sort of kind of like return it because you didn't have a return key to bring it back. You literally had to ring it back.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember because I used to own a Brother typewriter. I'm not carbon dating myself, are I? I hope not. But I did. But
we're half-life in it.
It was an Apple typewriter, by the way.
Actually, no, it was a Brother typewriter. And literally, you had to like crank it back.
Yeah.
And then if you fucked up and the little whiteout feature wasn't working, you literally had to go in with like this old brush, hard, brittle whiteout and go in there and like white it out. And then you had to blow on it. And then you have to like literally do all that craziness.
That's
and then
so
you
tedious.
Click on the letter. And then if the letter didn't line up right because you didn't like put it in the right place, you're fucked. It was horrible. I don't know how people thank God for word processing and Word.
Well, even going like for in the restaurant industry, you know, everyone uses Microsystems or Clovers or name dropping. Yes. And I remember when I was working at the first restaurant I ever worked at, and that's where I learned to wait tables to 10 bar. And one night we lost all electricity. So at first, we're starting to call in the credit card because, you know, people have to pay. People have cards. And I'm like, what are we going to do? So we're calling the credit card companies. The phones were... Yes. Tommy's making the hand motion. My boss put down this old sliding device. And I'm like, what the fuck is this thing?
You put the card down. And you just like
literally do it on a sheet of paper. And I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? So yes, I had to work with some carbon dating, kind of bringing it back in the days before computers working.
And you know what? It just goes to put in perspective how much harder things were back then.
Oh, without
and how much less we got paid. And it just like looks like that. It feels like when technology makes our life that much more easier, we get paid even more to do it. Mm-hmm. Let me not say that too loud because I might end up getting a pay cut.
Right. But at the same time, you know, your pay is going up because the cost of living is going up. It's not just that.
Well, absolutely. And I understand that. But, you know, it's just really crazy to me that, you know, we have really, 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 really changed the way we do things completely. And like, I cannot imagine my life before this beautiful piece of phone that I have that I'm rubbing on right now.
I remember one time when I was in college, I didn't have text messaging.
What?
I didn't have text messaging. My dad wouldn't let me have it because it cost too much money. And then finally, it was my sophomore year, about halfway through, and he called me up on my phone. He's like, by the way, you have text messaging. And I was like, what?
Oh, girl.
Jesus.
And I just started texting everybody. It was wonderful.
Like not only did he text everybody, he blew everybody's ears off, but that's okay.
But that being said, you know, text messaging is ruining the younger generation because they don't know how to talk on the phone anymore.
No.
We used to, that's what everyone used to do. You know, you get home from school, you just saw your friends. You get home, the first thing you do is you pick up the phone. You're on the phone for, you know, 10 hours talking about
it. And your mom and dad are yelling at you.
Exactly.
Get off the phone.
Thank God for alcohol because I don't know how I'd be able to talk to these bitches sitting around this.
Right, one more time. Let's cheers. Bring that in, guys. Cheers. Let's clink these
Do you remember
mugs.
Dial-up internet?
Oh, God.
Oh. With my... What's
AOL.
Your... AIM. I had AIM.
Welcome.
AOL.
You've got mail.
Who didn't have AIM? And I remember, you know, when I would do it, it was so, the conversations were so pointless. You start with, sup, how you doing? Like, just stupid things.
I used to remember the chat rooms.
Yes. You whores.
And I'd be like, ASL. Age, sex, location. I'd go into the
Asian
CT mail
language.
For male chat rooms.
I used to do C2C, and they were like, what? I'm cam to cam, you know?
Yes.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
I used to have this thing called net meeting.
Oh, I love that. That was amazing. Look, these little young bucks are looking at us like, what?
This is the first time that I'm hanging out with you guys that I actually feel younger, because when I was in chat rooms, I'm in like Cartoon Network chat rooms. We're talking about like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, no. I would set that webcam up.
Bitch, we were talking cartoons, not dick pics.
No. See, my chat rooms were all about dicks and stuff like that. We weren't talking about Disney. I don't know about you. You were in the wrong chat rooms. But I can understand
why,
though.
I was like six.
And then everybody's away message was like drama that was going on in school.
But
it's like, I'm going away from the computer. My message is, I can't believe you would do that to me in study hall. Text it. You know where I am.
No, but the funny thing was, it's like, you know, they would sit there in front of each other in cameras, and then they were, you know, it's like some people were whacking off, some people were rubbing their nipples, and they're just looking at each other like, really? Y'all get off on that? And I'm like, yeah.
I was like 16 years old. I'm like,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was much older than that. But
rubbing nipples, that's just like, come on.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, don't knock it. It's nice. It feels good.
Well, I mean, I rub my nipples. That's fine. I'm doing it momentarily.
Momentarily, I'm doing it right now.
Can we help?
Oh, shit.
Why not? So
Nobody went for it.
So anyway,
no one. Yeah, let me know. No one went for my nipples. They're nuts.
We're gonna Caddyshack that one.
Did anybody hear about the poop story?
What happened?
Because oh my god, and pooping.
Pooping?
No, it's not my poop story. I wish it was my poop story.
Do tell.
This girl put her entire first date on Twitter, like thread by thread. Basically, she went on a first date, went back to this guy's place, and she had to use the bathroom. The toilet wasn't flushing. She didn't know what to do. She was in the bathroom panicking. She took her poop out of the toilet, rolled it up in like layers of toilet paper, put it in her purse.
She took it with her
poop in a handbag
and went back out with the guy in the living room, was like hooking up with this guy while there's like poop in her purse.
A turd in her purse.
A log.
You have a condom?
Yeah, let me just reach in my purse real quick.
Maybe she ate like that day, though.
But like her Twitter was like, by the grace of God, the poo flushed finally. I was free. I was in the clear. Everything's going to be okay. I survived. I'm a survivor.
She probably had a little Tootsie Roll because, you know, she ate light that day.
I need to close my laptop.
Oh, this is crazy. I am like, I can't. I can't really poop in her purse.
She put the poop in her purse and went back out to her date.
Well, what about that video of, I forget what bar it was at.
That sounds like once upon a time, like when I farted and I sharted it, and then I, you know, I never did that. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Well, now guys are hitting her up. They're like, she posted a thing. Apparently, guys think I'm the shit. Literally, well, the shit.
There was this bar in New York. I remember seeing this. This had to be maybe 4 months ago. It got, this girl, of course, got fucking thrown out. I think she got fucking hit. I would hit her. Sorry, no, I would never hit a person. But they were getting all trashy, and people were taking shots out of her ass. She was pouring vodka into
Did
her
she
ass,
poop in someone's
and
butt?
One guy got underneath her, and she pushed out the shot. But a lot else came out of that shot and went all over him.
That is disgusting.
Are you serious?
Yep, I remember. Oh my!
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. No, no, God.
So basically, he had Godiva liquor.
No, that's not Godiva, honey. That does not taste like Godiva.
Oh,
like
honey, he went diving in.
That is a hospital trip. Frangelico, that is pink eye right there.
It's a little nuttier. Disgusting.
That is like fucking, like, what do you call that? Like strap, everything. All wrapped up into one. That's crazy.
I almost got kicked out of a bar for pooping once.
Ah, I was there.
Yep.
It smells really bad.
Let's hear this one.
I had to go to the bathroom so bad, and we were in Flaming Saddles in New York City.
Ooh.
And
is that on Christopher?
It's a gay bar. No, that's
in Hell's
Boots
Kitchen.
And Saddles.
Boots and Saddles is on Christopher Street.
We were
that street
at Flaming
after
Saddles,
me.
And I'm with Nick and two of our girlfriends. I'm like, I have to poop so bad. I'm like, I can't use. I hate pooping in public places. Hate
Unless
it.
I let you upstairs to use the bathroom.
Yeah,
it's a private one upstairs, close. So,
but the men's room, you can't go in there. There's like one stall. Guys are hooking up in it. I'm like, I'm just gonna go in the girls' room. It's a gay bar. It's fine. I'm in the girls' room. Letting out the serious liquid thunder. And my friend's in there with me. And I'm like, keep a lookout. I'm like, I don't want any girls coming in here listening to
this. What are we looking at?
Stall get destroyed. So all of a sudden, I hear a man's voice. I hear a man's voice. And my friend goes, it's fine. He's with me. It's just me in here. Banging on the stall. Get out. You're in the women's bathroom. I'm like, dude, I'm having a serious situation right now. Give me a minute. He goes, you need to get out of this bathroom right now. I'm like, you need to let me squeeze this off.
Yeah, what do you think? You're going to walk out with it and drag it along the floor?
Outside of the stall until I finished wiping and doing my duty.
So you literally took like a Superman shit.
Yeah. It was so bad though. Ooh, oh, girl. It was like someone turned the faucet on. And then he's like, you can't be in this bathroom. I'm like, it's a gay bar. There's dudes hooking up in the other fucking men's bathroom. I'm like, I'm going to poop. It's a serious matter. I got to go.
I'm actually using the bathroom for what it's supposed to be used for.
Mind you, I'm with him. And clearly, like, it's a small bar. They know that we're together or whatever.
So you were you in the bathroom?
No, I wasn't with him. I was at the bar waiting for them to get back from the bathroom. But then, like, when they got back to the bar, I had to pee. So, as like a normal person, and I didn't know what had happened, I walked down to the bathroom to go to go pee. And the bouncer literally stood behind me the whole time. And I'm like, what is going on?
It's like you're getting a fucking drug test.
And then I came back upstairs and Paul was like, oh, that's my phone. Sorry about
that. I'm like, we should probably go.
We should leave now.
I took a Superman shit.
Actually, I went to this bar in Texas. And we went to a ton of bars.
Is this another poop story?
Well, no, it's a bathroom story. It's okay. Not a poop one.
Were you on your knees?
No.
Was there a glory hole?
Sad.
No, no. We found out that's a laundry chute. We don't know what the hell you guys are doing with that, but that's to put your dirty laundry through.
Well, the so only dirty laundry you're going to have if you're a gay man in a bathroom is a shitty underwear after you've been proud.
Well, this bathroom I walked in, and this is something I've never seen before. Yeah, right? I've never seen this in a bathroom, so I want to know what you guys... If you've ever seen it. I go to... I forget the name of the bar. We're in Dallas, Texas. I'm there with my old roommate.
JR's?
No, it wasn't JR's. We did go to JR's. That was a great time. I love the Roundup Saloon. I met the sexy fucking cowboy who just wanted to take me home.
If
anyway,
you ever
want
to see two men do really, really hot two-step, you have to go to that bar.
Where is this?
That's the Roundup Saloon in Dallas. What's the name of the...
Oakland.
No.
The Strip? Oakland, yeah. They have all the bars are there.
Yeah, but
JR's is there.
There's a different name for it. I've never heard that one. They never called it that. Anyway. So we go into this one club. Not only did they put the stamp on the weird... The stamp is literally on my knuckle. Like if I went to fist bump you, that's where it said enter.
Fist?
Like one of these. Wow. Like legit said enter right here. So I walk into the bathroom.
Oh my God, it's a fisting bar.
Well, I had another story about that. So not only... Is there an attendant in the bathroom? But there's a fucking like gift shop in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, you get cigarettes, gum, everything.
It was gum, mouthwash. Like, have you seen those in places before?
Oh yeah, so they even spray in New York, and they even spray you with cologne too.
It's a gift shop or somebody like standing.
There was a guy like the attendant where you
with a box.
No, it wasn't a box. It was a stand.
I've never seen that.
Oh yeah, it's
they had everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well,
they have them in Vegas.
Everything.
Do you have poppers? Can I get it?
They have condoms. They have lube. They have everything.
Speaking of lube, this one's funny. Okay. Have you guys ever heard of the lube boy butter?
Yes.
Okay. So.
I'm the only one.
Of course, Paul would know. I know.
Well, this one didn't hit me until a little bit, until I was in Dallas for about 4 days. This one didn't hit me until about 3 weeks after I had come home.
Oh, and you're going to need boy butter down there because everything is big in Texas.
That's what they say. Mm. So I go to this. They have a big block party. The streets are closed down.
Wait a minute. You said that like if it wasn't true. Is it not true? Did you have a little one over there?
I didn't have any fun over there. Well, I had fun, but I didn't have any of that kind of fun.
Okay.
This is a good one. This is a real.
She's doing it wrong.
I got a little buzz going. I walk into the sex shop and I see boy butter. I'm like, oh, I remember this lube being really great. So I bought the boy butter. Now, mind you, on the logo on it is like an arm, like a fisted hand churning butter. That's what's on the cover.
Fisting lube.
So I go in and I buy a bottle of boy butter. And I bought like some DVD that's like dirty cum shots. It's like nasty. And the guy's like, oh my. So I buy that. I leave. I keep partying. I get hungry. So I go to Denny's. I take a cab to Denny's.
Oh my God.
As I'm leaving and I get back to the place, I realize I left my lube and my porn in the cab. So I'm even more wasted now. I'm like, well, I'm going to go get it again. So I go back into the store, not 3 hours later, buy another bottle of boy butter and another disgusting porn DVD.
Why didn't you just
DVD.
Call the cab?
But, well, I was wasted. So I didn't know at the time.
Excuse me. I left my boy butter in your backseat and my movie. Well, you can come by and drop it off and then I can help you.
Well, I never knew that this was fisting lube. So the second time I bought, in 3 hours that I buy this bottle, the guy working at the store is like, so do you want to be like friends on Facebook or something? Then I come home and find out, well, I know why he wanted to be my friend.
Well, he wanted you to use that boy butter. Hello.
Two bottles.
That would have been the super boy bottle. Talking about super, did you Batman versus Superman?
I heard it was stupid.
I'm not into superheroes.
I heard mixed reviews, but I heard it killed it in the freaking box office. Guess what? This particular movie actually made money. Literally, Warner Bros. Dished out $250 million to make the film. But in just the weekend alone, they made a whopping $425 million worldwide.
Wow.
So they made back their money.
Yeah, but and I heard it wasn't that good.
Did you see that video of Ben Affleck?
Oh my God.
I can't stand him.
When he was like sad.
To me, Ben, I don't care.
But when he was sad about them, like they were like, so you've been getting mixed reviews. Like some negative. Mostly
another
negative.
Bill Murray. Boo-hoo.
No, but and then he just stood there and like looked like off to the distance like the saddest person ever.
You know what? From a Puerto Rican to a Puerto Rican, I'm really happy that Jennifer dumped his ass. He's a fucking bitch. But I love you, though. He's hot. No, seriously, no. But Henry Cavill, Cavill, on the other hand, though, Superman, oh, man, that man can get it.
God.
I saw him on the show The Tudors, and let me tell you.
I never watched that.
Oh, there's a lot of Tudor there's house, a lot of sex scenes in that. The Tudors.
Relevance.
Oh, there's a lot of sex scenes. And let me tell you, the man's got such the cutest little white butt. And he was just as cut and built during that series as he is in Superman. And you just want to like reach into the TV and be like, oh. It's trust me when I tell you.
I want to try something really quick. I just want to, this is for Paul. I'm going to read off some things and just say if you know what they are. Okay. Mm. They're all going to be lubes, but I want to see.
They're all going to be what?
Lube.
Oh.
Gun oil.
It's sitting by my bed.
I know that one okay. too.
Hold on.
Okay.
Elbow grease, H2O.
Never heard of that one.
Swiss Navy.
That's my favorite. Yes,
that's a good one.
That's my
smooth
favorite.
Smooth and slick.
As long as
that sounds like vagina lube.
Elbow grease?
Yes.
You already said that, I thought.
Well, there's two different bottles of it.
Well, one's
ID Him Leather.
I've used what? That one before.
ID
that,
Him Leather.
Is that to get in
it's
the
got
leather?
4.5 stars.
That sounds good.
Out of what?
Out of 5.
I'm going to try that one.
I'm going to use it on Henry Cavill.
And then do you have any anal lube injectors?
Yes. It's the pause and the hand on the chin. The
it's front. Not really one that I bought from a sex store.
It was a gift.
I got it at Walgreens. It's basically like a syringe.
Are you serious?
So basically, yeah. He bought a turkey baster and squeezed it.
That's a fucking Canadian done. Squirt gun to shove that shit up. Oh,
let's just say Paul just got a 95% on that quiz. Good job, buddy.
Nicely done. Give it up, Paul. Very nice.
You got to pre-lube it.
You got to make sure it's pre-lube because once it goes in, girl, it hurts if it's not. Well, yeah, I remember what happened last episode when we went through all of that. What else we got, bitches?
What else?
Well,
I want to talk a little bit about something, but I don't know if I should.
Wait. Paul, can you do me a favor? Can you use namaste in a sentence?
Namaste?
I can. Namaste.
You know, I really have to go to work tonight, but I'm going to think, namaste home.
I'm going to stay my ass home.
Keech asked me if I want to go out last night. I said, namaste my ass at home. I love that. It's like, ooh, brand new week.
Did anybody hear about the comedian that was like bashing Bruce Jenner / Caitlyn Jenner?
Oh, fuck her.
Now what?
And Kylie was there.
Oh.
And Tyga? Whoever her boyfriend
Whatever.
Is was like laughing his ass off, and she just had a straight face the whole time.
Well, I mean, hello. You know, here's the thing. If you go through a sex change, and she hasn't even gone through the whole, she hasn't had the sexual reassignment. If you're going through.
She hasn't?
No, I don't think she has.
Caitlyn Jenner?
She has gone through the transition of she got her boobs, I believe. I think.
Oh, so you mean like taking the hormones and all that?
Yeah,
stuff?
She's making some changes, but she hasn't really fully, I don't
well,
think.
Well, the Adam's apple's gone. That was like one of the first things she got shaved.
That bitch, they needed a serious chisel for that. But. You know, my thing is this. It's like if you go through something like that and you put it out there and you're public about it and you're such a big figure. I mean, the man won he was a decathlon, like gold medalist. I mean, you're going to have people that are really going to look at everything that you do and criticize it. And you need to be ready for that. And I think that she needs to at this point. You know, prepare her children for stuff like that and let them know, hey, listen, you might be in public and you might hear X, Y, Z. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if I have the guts to go through all of this and make all these changes, I need to have the guts to tell you that, you know, people are going to ridicule me in your presence.
Yeah.
And you're going to see and experience this. And you're going to have the strength to let it go.
More people will probably say things to them than to Caitlyn herself, to her face.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, Kim even talked about it for a while, you know, how her indifference with the changes that Caitlyn was going through. And I think it was very sweet and endearing to see Kim in that light. And then, you know, her stupidity kicks in and then you're like, oh yeah, it's Kardashian. I forgot. Sorry.
Yeah, it was sorry. It was Dave Chappelle. I guess he was talking about how
I fucking love him though.
He was old enough to remember Bruce as a Superman who was beating Africans in track and field back in the 70s. And then he also said he knew there was a change coming after he had a run-in with Kanye. And Dave said to Kanye, why the long face? And I guess Kanye was like, man, you'll see.
That shit is gone, snip, snip.
Kylie didn't like that too much. She wasn't laughing, but her boyfriend was.
Well, she needs to get over it. Like I said, you know, daddy should have prepared. I mean, excuse me, mommy.
He wants to be a mom. He wants to adopt.
Mommy.
Yeah. Right after we talked about it in the first episode, Trish and I stopped to get smokes, and we saw the...
Hey, Trish.
One of the magazines that said that she wants to adopt a baby. Oh, yeah, right after you had mentioned it, I'm like, oh, shit. Mm.
This is for real.
A first-time mom at 66.
Mm. Can you imagine? I love when it gets that silent. We're like, okay, we're all on the same page with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trish, so what you got?
Well, I don't know if I should really talk about what I got.
What you got?
I've had a rough weekend.
Well, tell me.
God. Let's hear it.
Work?
A little bit of work.
Be generic.
My life is pretty busy right now. But generically, you know, I'm just currently going through a separation, if you will.
Well, yeah.
And it isn't going well. And it's just been kind of a struggle.
I understand what you're going through because, you know, I've gone through separations myself.
I go through separations all the time.
I think the hardest thing for me right now.
Uber's here. Bye.
The hardest thing for me right now is I'm so involved in the gay community because I'm a bartender.
Yeah. Well, the only separation Paul goes through is his ass splitting. But yes, go ahead.
It's a separation of legs.
And it's just hard to see when you're trying to get space from somebody to really like try to clear your head and just kind of move forward. It's hard to get that space when you're working in a gay bar that they frequent.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that. We all have those experiences. We're all doing it.
Trust me. Yeah. I mean...
But I always let it get the best of me and how...
Oh, she let it have it last night, though.
I don't know how I... I really don't want it to get the best of me. So how I need to do that, I haven't quite figured out yet. So it's just something that I've been struggling with and trying to work through. But that's my dish for the week, is just working through the separation stuff.
Well here's what I'm going to say to Mr. Generic. Get the hint... Go somewhere else. Be nice. You know, we all have to love each other. We all have to be gay boys and be good, okay? So get the hint and be nice. And I'm being serious. I'm talking serious here, boys. If you're having an issue, don't perpetuate the situation any further and give you guys some space. You know, our bar is not the only bar here. There's plenty of bars in the city of New Haven that you can go to and have a drink and a cocktail and bring your friends to.
At the same time, I'm not saying don't come out to our bar. I'm saying, hey.
But you have to be respectful. You know, if you're having a situation, don't antagonize the situation even further by just showing up and really being...
So let me clear my head. Give me a week. Give me 2 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, and then if things happen to come back to where they were, then, you know, which...
She needs to get fucked.
Well, yeah, she needs
by
to
by a stranger.
And I can totally agree with
me,
that.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh. I can totally agree with that because, you know, as you guys know, I just went through, you know, a separation. But I kind of had like the good end of the stick, as did the person that I separated with. I mean, we were together for a little bit over a year, and he'd be happy to hear this right now. We live together. We're best friends. You know, we still.
Well, I can vouch they're both very amazing people.
They really are.
And thank you. And I agree. He totally is. And we can sit down on the couch, you know, when we're sitting there watching TV together, and I want to like lay on the couch, I'll still put my legs over and be like, my couch now. And we're best friends. We do things together. We have interests, and it's really great to be able to separate it early enough to where you make sure that you don't grow to hate each other, that you can really establish a good friendship. And I'm so grateful for that.
And that is important. It is important because, you know, you have to, especially if you have a situation where you're living with someone, you have to make it work. I'm sorry. You know, sure. It's like you can't just throw a tantrum and say, okay, I'm leaving or you're leaving, or you don't have that luxury. And especially when there's finances involved, you just have to make it work.
And now it's better than ever.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be negative in any way. This person is a great person, and I miss him in my life, but it's time to let it go. And I need him to
let it go.
Understand that. Yeah. So.
No, definitely.
Sing it, Paul. Let it go.
Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
Whatever you do, don't go to the toilet. You better hold that one back.
If I could chime this one in real quick. Meanwhile,
I don't know what
in
that is.
Canada,
you had put something forward about an instance that happened in Canada about an employee
being harassed for being gay?
Was yes. It? And the prime minister actually sent this individual a Valentine. It was beautiful. I read that today on Facebook, and it makes me want to be Canadian. Seriously,
Justin Trudeau. I love Justin Trudeau, but even just putting him aside, that's just so great of a person to do. That shows how progressive that nation
can be.
See,
if he did that to me, though, we would have the same outcome because he would bring me chocolates or whatever, or a little card, and it would be cute and all. We would take pictures.
Oh my God, I'm looking at it right now.
I would be literally buying knee pads. Sorry.
That's really sweet.
Isn't it?
Justin Trudeau, you are a great man. I'm glad to be able to call you my prime minister someday.
Canadian's favorite and most handsome prime minister.
He surely is. Gorgeous. So, I would buy all the greases.
This is a prime minister we're talking about.
I will open up my own factory in Saskatchewan, Canada, somewhere.
The Saskatchewan. I am wearing my Canadian shirt.
Yeah, he is. He's in Canada with that big maple leaf right on.
We'll put a photo of Chris in his Canadian t-shirt on the website.
So, just so that you know, it's www.
Oh, his laptop's in the photo too.
Oh, again, www.gaytalk2020.com. We'll see you there. So we do have a lot to talk about, but maybe
so. Well, why don't we jump into our what we're here to really talk about, the gaze of our lives. Paul, one more time.
These are the gays of our lives.
And what we mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, is we want to sort of kind of take a little traveling tour through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and all these decades, and sort of kind of talk about the differences and my experience as a gay man coming out when I did versus Paul and versus Chris and Nick, because, you know, we're all different ages and we all have different stories. And I think it would be kind of fun to sort of kind of...
Well, we told our coming
out
stories last episode.
But we talked about
our coming out. Talk about everybody else.
But we talked about our coming out stories, you know, with our families. You know. So it's important is to really look at the difference in the generations with how you have to, at one point, you couldn't dare even express how you truly
felt.
Well,
I mean, look at, for example, men who were at their prime in the 50s and 60s were more prone to actually be married to a woman, have children, and then in the 80s and like early 90s sort of kind of go through a divorce and declare, you know, come out and say, hey, I'm gay.
Which I see often, and I know we all do at our jobs, people that had to unfortunately go through that.
They had to because, you know, back then it really wasn't accepted. You know, in the 50s, it was like your parents, their expectations of what they wanted you to be really carried a lot of weight. It doesn't happen that way anymore. And so,
well, it's not even just your parents' expectation; it's society's expectation.
And you would be labeled as a sexual deviant should you want to sleep with another man.
Please,
it's nearly a crime. You know,
Chris, you're a sexual deviant.
Back in the 50s, the mere congregation of gay men and women, or just gay men, period, in an establishment, was means enough for actually someone to just literally, like, for law enforcement to go out and harass you and say, "We're going to shut your place down and we're going to take your liquor license away."
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and it was a crime to. I mean, be a homosexual or engage in homosexual acts, right. Really.
I mean, I had read that, you know, even back, and I think it was like in January of 1958, there was a case in where the Supreme Court of California actually had to rule that, you know, it wasn't, you know, bad or it wasn't breaking any laws and where homosexuals would gather at a bar. And I think the gay bar was actually in San Francisco, and it was called the Black Cat Bar. And these particular individuals who owned the bar were actually targeted for like almost 15 years. And basically what law enforcement was doing was going in there and giving them a hard time and trying to take their liquor license away because they were catering to the gay establishment. And, you know, to think, oh my God, to think that in today's world that doesn't happen. I can walk into any bar, really, and I don't have to worry about law enforcement coming in and saying what you're doing is wrong.
Right.
Or walking down the streets or being, you know, back in the day when you had to, you know, look over both shoulders before you walk into this bar.
And is it weird that I still do that, though?
You do what?
Do you? Not necessarily walking to a bar, but when I'm walking down the street, maybe if I'm with somebody that I'm dating or it's an instance, you know, that could be construed as I'm dating this person, I'll make sure that I'm feeling safe before I engage in any affectionate activity.
I do too. But you know, that comes with the stigma that, you know, being gay is not normal. in the minds of many people. And,
right.
And you say to yourself, okay, well, you know, this is the person that I love, just like you do. Why should I not be able to hold my lover's hand,
right,
or show a PDA or PDF? Is that what it's called?
No, PDA. No,
public
PDA.
Display of affection.
Sorry.
PDF that, is a file.
So even going to like the
that Moscow mule is fucking kicking in. Honey. That mule, that shit's got the actually, stick
and
up
the black
my
hat
ass.
Was in Los Angeles.
It was in L.A. That's
yes,
right.
I thought so. Yeah, that's good.
And actually, I wanted to say that this Moscow mule is like a Moscow mule walking through London, because we actually have the alcoholic ginger beer,
yes,
made in England, which usually ginger beer is not alcoholic. But I just
it's my
fault.
I couldn't find the right ginger beer.
I had to chim but that in. Okay, but, later, yeah. Trish. All right, Paul, please.
But
continue.
Yeah, in 67, the Black Hat in Los Angeles was raided on New Year's Day by 12 plainclothes police officers who beat and arrested the employees and patrons.
Yeah, that sounds it's about sad. Right for that it time. Really for that time, that sounds
I
about
mean,
right.
It really reminds you of all the things that happened, like even going back to Stonewall, you know, which I think that was at that point in time when Stonewall came around back in 1969, it was at its tipping point, because at this point it wasn't only in LA or Los Angeles or, well, I said that, LA, mm-hmm, or San Francisco, or it wasn't just, you know, in any bar in hometown USA. Mm-hmm. It was really happening on a national level. And I think right. that all things came to a head with Stonewall. And what happened in Stonewall is that it just...
We pushed back.
We did. We had mm-hmm. to. When you come to a point and see... And here's what bothers me, that a lot of the children that are growing up today, or a lot of the younger ones, the younger gays that are growing up in today's society, really don't understand the struggles. And so they really don't appreciate what it is that someone who has a little bit more age on them has gone through.
It's important to appreciate what people had to fight for what we can have. Now, when I go to my neighborhood bar...
Well, we're still fighting.
No, but, and, we, and the yeah. fight will never... No, the fight will not end. But what I'm saying is, I'm one that I understand what generations before me, even before us, had to go through for where... When I go to my neighborhood bar, when I could sit there with, unfortunately, now my ex, but we could sit at that bar, people knew us there. We weren't, you know, having sex on the bar, but I can look over when we're laughing and I can give him a kiss and no one would bat an eye. They'd be like, oh, hey, Jose. Hey,
oh. Hey, Chris.
But, you know,
I tried
just,
so hard.
It just happens. And, you know, but here's the other thing, too. It's like I walk into my home and I'm actually fortunate because my mother knows that I am who I am. And if
you said Hawaiian at first, I'm sorry. No, he said I am Hawaiian. Sorry, I know you're being serious.
No, but no. I mean, the thing is that, you know, my mother knows who I am. She knows I'm a gay man, and I'm very happy and proud. But unfortunately, our fellow gay men and women from back in the 50s and 60s didn't have that luxury. They unfortunately had parents that probably passed away and never knew who their children really were. And to me, that's sad.
Well, and a lot of times, too, they passed away not knowing who their children were, but would probably, it's better off that way.
Yes, but that's the sad part. That's what really makes me sad. Because, yeah, you know, as children, we always seek acceptance from our parents.
Of course. Oh,
you know, that's a natural instinct of any child or any adolescent growing up. We seek our parents' acceptance.
Being loved unconditionally.
And when that doesn't happen, or when you have to feel that you need to lie or and
hide
not
who
be,
you are.
It must have been. I cannot begin to understand what it was as someone in the 50s or 60s.
Oh, I can understand it completely because I had to do it for a long time. Yeah, you know, I did it for a portion
right,
of
but
my
we
life.
Did it for,
but it was different.
I couldn't imagine the extent at which they had to do it, correct? But I can imagine that time period and the anger and being
in the closet
sad and trying to hide something and getting it where you can. And that's why coming out of the closet became a thing, because we had to hide so much that we had to actually come out. The idea of coming out of the closet really needs to disappear. I can't wait to see the day where the idea of coming out of the closet is not even a thing, where kids don't have to come out of the closet.
They
I mean, Dan Savage,
has
a son, and his husband, Terry, they both have a son. And the son went to the neighbor, who they're good friends with, supposedly, and came out to the neighbor as heterosexual because he was scared to tell his two dads. He was nervous to tell his two dads that he was straight. I mean, like, right there is like, it's like the idea of love who you love.
Mm-hmm. And, but you know, those two men do a really good job though.
I mean, they do.
They're great.
I mean,
guys.
Like he talked about it on his podcast and he actually wrote a it's in his book as well, one of his books. And it's just so interesting to me that his son, who has two gay, very homo-positive men,
who is breathing like that?
Thank you.
Can you hear that? I'm literally like, who is whistling out of their nose into the microphone? Is that you?
No.
Someone needs to stop breathing.
But here's the thing. So Dan Savage.
Stop breathing, bitches.
Dan Savage, by the way, you have a fan.
A big fan. Yeah, it's me.
Hi, Dan.
Trish here.
It's Trish.
But it is great with, like, you know, how Stonewall, you know, when they march to Stonewall, and then what it brings every year, it brings, the gay pride parade there. It's a little different, obviously, now, how people react. Oh, I've never been to a gay pride before.
If you look at, for example, like when Madonna did her Blonde Ambition tour, that was in 1989, 1990. I believe that's the time frame. Look at, she has actually a clip of her dancers who, the majority of her dancers were gay, going to the actual parade. This was part of her Truth or Dare documentary. And you could see the difference in the parade. I guess it must have been where they were. They didn't want to maybe get that much exposure. Maybe they were up on Fifth Avenue more, not so much in the Village. But you could see the difference and feel the difference versus today. And in the shot that they actually got in Truth or Dare, they were actually doing a moment of silence for all the victims that have fallen to HIV and AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you think about all the different, like, changes that took place. And for the men in the 50s and 60s, it was really making their parents happy and saying, hey, I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you grandchildren. And I'm going to do whatever you want to do. And then, unfortunately, when you pass, then I guess it's my turn to be me and, you know, go through that whole divorce and stuff. And then when you look at the 70s, the 70s must have been an amazing time to be gay. I'm sorry, Studio 54.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah. I know.
Everybody was doing coke. I mean, the Saturday Night Live, the shirts, the bell bottoms, and the
I wish I was old enough for Studio 54.
I wish I lived all through that era.
And we all know people that used to go and enjoy that kind of, you know, those times.
I know that I've been harping a lot on, like, coming out and all of that stuff, but I really think that a lot of, you know, the 80s AIDS epidemic has to do with the fact that people had to hide their sexual yearnings and needs and wants, and they were doing all these backdoor sexual, they were having all these backdoor sexual experiences, which led to unprotected sex because they didn't have the supplies that they needed. I mean, it's just absolutely, by 1987, which was the year I was born, by the way, there was over almost 17,000 deaths due to HIV, AIDS.
But when you think about the beginning, you know, here we are. There's no secret that the gay men and women, especially the gay men, in the 70s, the 60s and 70s, in the era of bathhouses, Bathhouse Betty, Bette Midler performing at bathhouses. I mean, it was a time where men really were like saying, okay, we don't live in the era of our parents. We're going to just flaunt it and throw it out there. Yeah. And there was pictures like Uncle Charlie's it was one of the bars that had been out for years. And you would see men out there with no shirts on and, like, you know, with their leather. I saw pictures. Oh, my God. It was like I would have loved and killed to live in that era.
But were you not scared out of your mind? Because you were old enough to realize what was going on. At a certain point, you were old enough to kind of catch on and know who you were, even though you may not have been out.
Well, see, I came out when I was 14 years old.
Okay.
So for me,
that's awesome.
You know, but here's the thing. I had people in my family that were gay. As I said before in our Family Matters episodes, I have an aunt who's a lesbian and my uncle who was gay. My uncle was very instrumental in teaching me the ways of what was going on, and especially giving me a lot of information on HIV and AIDS early on and saying, dude, you know, you really need to be careful because we don't have we didn't have the advancements in medicine.
We didn't know what it was for a long time.
Nothing. I mean, we had no support from our government.
Our president, you know, would be like, oh, gay flu. You know, like,
They called it GRID, for God's sakes, for the longest time. So, I mean, this was a period in gay history that was really sad because, you know, we didn't have that much information, and they were really attributing this disease to just gay men. You know,
well, you know, I think it was so prevalent in gay men because
we're very promiscuous.
We're very promiscuous.
There's secret. That's no secret.
I mean, we're men having sex with men. What do women worry about all the time? Women now. They're men straying because men want
whatever they want.
And whatever they wanted. Yeah. And the 70s, see, here's the thing. The culture in the 70s really allowed for to work into that whole.
It was a sexual awakening.
It really was. And then you had disco. Hello.
I mean, like, you go from the 1950s to the 70s. It really was. Everybody was waking up. They were like, oh my God, this is my body.
Can you imagine having sex to Donna Summer's Left to Love You Baby for 17 minutes?
I've done it.
Over and over and over again. Like, literally just put the album, put the record, because back then we didn't have, they either had 8-tracks.
As long as I was on roller skates, I'd be good with it.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh my God.
But can you imagine? I would have been, oh my God, in heaven. Legs up in the air, rollerblades with the little ball, with the little wheel spinning as I'm being plowed to death. Oh my God, that would have been amazing. And then the thing was, is like back then, it's like all the porn 80s of the 70s and like early 80s, they were all hairy men and they had really thick bushes. It's like
not my vintage
daddy porns. I'm like, yeah. I wish I was around for those times.
But the
I would have been such a
they
daddy.
Had so much my bush. Porn stash. You could literally corn braid that.
I would have been a porn star.
Like, seriously,
I could see that. I'm sorry. I know I could.
But they had such like bush that you could like literally corn braid it. It was that long. It was like, seriously, you had to like dig for it. I'm like, where's your penis? Well, is it in there?
It's coming back to those times because no one's shaving anymore. Everyone wants body hair.
Listen, there's nothing worse than going
to a point. Well, that's true. I did grow a beard last year.
There's nothing worse than bringing a man home, pulling his pants down, and having not one speck of hair down there. You're making me feel like I'm touching a 12-year-old. Yeah, that's disgusting. Go home, grow some hair, and come back when you do.
Well, I don't mind smooth balls.
I like smooth balls.
I like smooth balls. I'm just putting that out there.
I shave my balls.
I like that. I don't mind
everything else.
Bush,
I just keep a little maintained.
But I don't want like ball hair in between my teeth. It's maybe good. In like one or two.
It's
but, like,
good to know. Yeah, I want to be able to feel like I'm actually giving you a blowjob and not flossing.
There's nothing sexy about having a hairy ball sack in your mouth.
No. Well, I mean, a little bit is okay, but like I just can't get mine like smooth. I don't know. Well, you fucking shave.
You've got a lot of hair, Chris.
You're a very
I'm a hairy,
hairy
person. I just pulled a muscle.
We're gonna put a picture of his balls online. No, I'm kidding. We can't do that.
Yes, we can. We can do whatever we want.
Well, we could. We can blurb it out. We can put like a picture of a monkey or something over them.
That is just gonna make me sound like seem even hairier.
Well, you are. Hairy.
I am very hairy.
He is. But anyway, going back to topic. I mean, seriously, you know, when you look at the generations and you look at the differences, the 70s probably they had it the best. You know, I'm sorry, the 80s was a time.
Because nobody cared. Everybody was on drugs. They just wanted to do their thing and live their life. Yeah,
I know, but it was just so sad with everyone dying. Like, people were dropping like flies.
Yeah, well.
In the early 80s.
And like people nowadays, like an older man comes into a bar, he's like, we'll talk about like, you know, just shoot the shit with the customer. And he'll be like, all my friends are dead. They all died of AIDS.
I know, that's horrible to hear.
And I'm like, well, you survived.
I mean, in 1981, there was like about 120 something like that who by the end of the year there was 120 that had died. I mean, plenty of people had been diagnosed, but by 1983 there was almost 1500 people had died. That's not even two full years.
If you want to get a really good perspective of what really happened during that time frame, there's a movie, and actually HBO usually plays it on
the Normal Heart.
Oh my God, it's called so wonderful.
And the Band Played On.
Uh-oh. And the Band Played On.
I don't know this movie.
You have to watch it. It's actually it really depicts how gruesome it was to experience that and go through that era. And it's a really good picture if you ever have an opportunity to watch it.
I would have been scared shitless, honestly. It's funny because you started in the 1980s, you're coming off the 70s, and there was this sexual awakening, as I said, and everybody was just having sex and being crazy and enjoying. And then AIDS came about, or what, you know, they were calling GRID, or like the gay cancer, and then people, the sexual energy, people were so afraid, it died off. They didn't want to deal with it anymore. They were so afraid to have sex that it was like faux pas. They could, you know
you
what
should
I mean?
Never be afraid to have sex.
I mean,
well, now,
Paul,
I mean,
Paul,
you
were in your prime in the 2000s. Yeah, I mean, you came out
in your prime.
2000 was a good year. The 2000s have been good. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was the year 2000 where I had my first penis in my mouth. That was a great day.
It was a good year. I can imagine.
In the back seat of a 2-door Honda Accord.
Oh.
Behind a tobacco barn.
Were you in my area?
How Puerto Rican of you?
You know where I grew up, yes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I was like a town away from you.
I forgot about that.
You were in bed because you had school in the next morning.
Yeah, some boy in Springfield got his cock sucked.
No. It was not Massachusetts.
I was going to say, it wasn't Massachusetts.
Well, I did run into him 15 years later.
Oh, did you ever suck it again?
I took him right into the bathroom of the bar, and I was like, let's do this again.
Oh, good girl. Proud of you.
I'm very proud of you, Trish.
But actually, no, nowadays oh, wait, no, it's sorry, so Paul. Easy.
I think my first gay blowjob was by a tobacco shed, too.
Was it you?
He would have been like two. That's disgusting.
Okay, sorry.
What? Was...
He would have been like two.
No.
Because you know you're an old fart.
He's only like 6 years younger than me.
So.
Well, I was okay. 15 and this guy was 19. So
okay, I was like.
I was I was raped.
Yeah, you were.
You were not. You can't rape the willing. There's no way.
Exactly. But no, maybe keep back the ages to the 2000s. Off the
air. But yeah.
With all the medicine and everything nowadays. You can. I'd rather have HIV than cancer, honestly.
But here's the thing. In 2000, we did not have the medical advancements that we do now.
Not at all.
Right. Most of this medication, all these like antivirals, came out like 2009, 10. It's been in the last 5 or 6 years that we've made the most progress with a lot of these cocktails.
Right, but people need to keep in mind that just because they have these medications out there, that does not mean that you have to disregard safe sex. You know,
well, I mean, you have to take care of yourself.
You do.
You know, if you don't have HIV, you have to do everything that you can to responsibly be able to enjoy your body and protect yourself.
It's not just HIV, but
anything. Gonorrhea, syphilis.
Yeah, just be safe. You know,
hepatitis.
You have to take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Use condoms when you're having sex with people. You need to take care of yourself. There's so many things. I mean, some of them are
well, unless you
want to
shoot a load on their face, and then that's
Paul, why are you so quiet?
Fun.
I'll kill you.
You know, so. The face, the back, whatever, that's fine, you know, but just you got to be careful. That's something that bothers me about with the new drugs
I'm
out
very
there.
Happy to see that we've made all this progress, specifically with AIDS and HIV. But, you know, it really saddens me that we had to lose so many people before our government ever even did anything about it.
Unfortunately.
And, you know, Nancy Reagan recently passed away. And I can remember reading that, you know, she was very indifferent about the whole thing. And to me, it's like, you know, yeah, you know, why are we going to put this woman on a pedestal, especially in the gay community, if when she when it counted, she really didn't step up to the plate?
Yeah, no.
You know, and it's sad. You know, we lost a first lady, so I'll give her that much respect. You know, she played some sort of role in history. Unfortunately, it wasn't the right role that we wanted her to play.
She didn't like the gays?
Well, she was very indifferent about people who had HIV, right. And she sort of kind of ignored the whole thing when it really blew up in the 80s.
Oh, fuck her.
Well, so, we're not going to, you know, you're not going to applaud her death. You're not going to applaud Justice Scalia's death, even though they weren't.
No,
they didn't.
You got to understand that in one way, in some shape or form, both of these individuals, whether it was Scalia or if it was Nancy Reagan, they played a significant role in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And
running the government.
Well, yeah, sometimes it wasn't the correct role, no. But you know, we have to acknowledge at least that. But you know, they dropped the ball. I'm sorry, the Reagan administration dropped the ball on AIDS, and they could have done so much more, and more lives could have
should
been saved.
Should
have. You're right. They should have. And it's unfortunate. You know, it really is. It really is, and it just saddens me that, you know, we had to lose. Like Paul said, you have conversations with customers, and they're like, most of my friends are dead. It's sad that we had to get there.
It's horrible to hear.
I mean, I can only imagine being on the opposite end and seeing all these doctors and seeing all these people die and literally saying, I don't know what to do.
You know, that's why I admire artists too, like, for example, Cher, Bette Midler. These are individuals, I call them superhumans, because they have actually gone through. Cher has been, singing and performing for decades?
Mm-hmm.
And Betty, I mean, love Bette Midler. I mean, the woman performed in bathhouses. I mean, she has, if anything, out of most of the entertainers, the closest of relationships with the gay community. And people loved her because she wasn't afraid. You know, to really go in into these bathhouses and perform. And let me tell you, some of her most legendary work and performances were done in those bathhouses with Barry Manilow behind the piano. Amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's still here today, and I love her.
While someone's strung up in a sling getting railed, she's in the bathhouse. Hey, get it, boo. I'm going to perform a song for you.
Like
you
we know? Said, perfect balance between class and trash here.
The guy was always like literally saying like, did you ever know that you're my hero?
Fuck me again, bitch.
But yeah, I love it. So, you know, it's great. You know, it's great. It's sad. It's really the reality that we live in, but I'm happy that we're making progress. And
the important thing is to make sure that we learn, you know, younger generations. I mean, obviously not by much, but yes, I am the youngest one sitting around the table right now. And I have a great appreciation for what people have gone through. So I can walk down the street and hold the person that I'm with's hand. So now I can nationwide marry the man that I love. So it's always important for younger gay
people.
Not
if he moves to Canada. Well, actually,
Canada, way before us. It's just very important for people, you know, my age, I'm 24 and younger, to just appreciate and be grateful for what so many people had to sacrifice to get where we could.
Yeah, we've come a seriously long way.
And we really have. And we have a lot more to go, but we can all do it by working together and just being strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And cheers to that, guys.
Absolutely. Cheers to that. So on our next show, we're going to be talking about sexual fantasies and what we like about, you know, the things that we do in our bedroom. Right, Nick?
Completely agree. You tell me yours, I'll tell you mine.
Well, you know, hey, listen, guys, as always, it's wonderful to hear from our listeners. And, you know, you can always chime in.
There you go.
To our, you know, squeeze over to our website, www.gaytalk20.com. And you can leave us a comment, tell us anything that you want us to either discuss, give us some feedback. We love to hear from our subscribers.
You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
That is correct.
And if you have any questions or if you have a fantasy that you'd like to share, we'd be more than happy to share it on the air.
Absolutely.
So send us an email.
Because I could use a few.
We could even have Chris, who, you know, anything comes out of his mouth is just amazing. He's a fantasy all on his own.
He's my fantasy. Like
our resident Canadian. So
bonjour.
So, you know, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, thank you so much for listening. You guys are making us absolutely happy. We're greatly appreciative that we're doing this for you. It is a fantastic endeavor, and I can't do it without my friends Nick, Paul, and Chris. So on that note, have a great, great, great week, guys, and we'll see you next week for our next episode.
Good to be with you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.